Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where we're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome, y'all. This is the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios, beautiful downtown Grand Rapids. Bob, wham! January's gone. February 1st, here we are, man. 2020, we got January in the books, and it was a good one. We didn't get our winter yet, but hopefully February will bring us a little winter. I do like a touch of ice fishing every now and then, and I've had no inclining to get out on the ice yet. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop. You're right. January's gone. 2020 is off with a flash, and it's the weekend with the Grilling Guys. Thanks for joining us. It's the smokiest show on the radio, Jop. I have had it certified, verified, 99% accuracy. We're the smokiest.
Well, and you're, I'm eating some smoked meat right now, which is pretty dang good.
That's the unusual on this show.
Right. Barbecue Bob brought in some homemade beef ribs.
And some pork ribs.
Are they?
Yeah.
Which ones am I eating?
I'm eating pork, silly. So it is something other than light beer for the Super Bowl on this show. So what we thought we would do is change it up a little bit and bring in our favorite vintner, Brian Lesperance from Fen Valley Winery in Fenville, Michigan.
Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy.
I'll come to any show if there's ribs involved. So.
Right.
It's the best. Radio and ribs are better than TV and ribs.
You don't have to sound so trampy about that. Yeah. So a lot of us are switching over to wine more and more, I noticed. And I thought, you know, the Super Bowl is always Bud Light commercials, Miller Light commercials. Everybody drinks beer. Well, that's not the case.
Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, wine, beer, cider, you know, all these things are popular with your typical, you know, fare that you'd be eating during the Super Bowl, be it wings, be it anything, really.
And Faygo Rock and Rye.
Okay. Right. If you say so.
Right.
So, yeah, no, I mean, we're seeing as a lot, especially with a lot of our younger crowd coming in looking for different types of pairings, things that were usually beer. They're looking at hard cider or looking at wine. You know, I brought a rosé today, which is, I think, a nice pairing with pork. And so pork ribs would be a good pairing with that. I also brought a couple of other ideas we can talk about as we go
through
the day.
Is that what I'm trying right here?
You're trying our Vino Rosé, which is part of our Vino series, which we have in the can or in the bottle, which also helps a lot when you're talking about a party atmosphere where glass isn't always convenient.
Yeah, the cans would be great for tailgating.
That too, absolutely.
Or the pool in the summer.
If you're in New Orleans right now.
Yeah, exactly. If you're down in Miami or you know, at the game.
Where is it? Miami. Yeah,
Miami this year. Yeah.
So, Jop, I am going to a Super Bowl party, and I want to bring your buffalo recipe, so your buffalo dip. So I stopped by Jop's a few days ago, picked up the buffalo dip recipe, and noticed his refrigerator was void of beer.
Right. It was.
We had a glass of wine.
Right. We did. I'm trying to cut back on Jop a little bit. And
he stuffs his third pork chop.
Right, yeah. But it's working, but I just tell you that I love craft beer. Everybody knows I love craft beer, and I'm a huge craft beer proponent. But craft beer turns out doesn't like me so well in that I, you know, put on a bunch of weight. When I do it, you're drinking 600 calories a glass, and I generally don't go and drink just one. And then you might have some food that went with it, and lo and behold, you do that for several years, and you end up at about 270. And that was way, way, way too heavy for me. So 50 pounds or so lighter now, and that's why you didn't find any beer in my fridge. You found wine, but you didn't find beer because I'll drink wine all day.
That was okay, except they were all about empty.
Right.
Our good friend Tony Courthouse is getting out of the barbecue business out in Minneapolis. It was called Qtopia. He's sold the store, and I don't know what he's going to do, but some of the folks have maybe followed him on Facebook. If you're following us on Facebook / The Grilling Guys, you'll notice last week I posted a little bit from the Spectrum Health endoscopy, I think they call it, or whatever. Basically, I had to go get the old dreaded colonoscopy. I get one every 5 years. My father died of colon cancer, and there's nothing I dread more than having to prep for that thing. When you're done, it's fine because you're high as a kite. Somebody's driving you home, and you get to stop for dinner.
Right.
It's just like going to a concert.
It's only 24 hours, you know, that you had to go without it. But it you know what? It's a day of pain versus a lifetime of comfort and peace of knowing.
Yeah, and right? The reason I brought that up is because I posted a picture of the sign of the place. They've totally redone Spectrum. I've got two kids that work for Spectrum, and we had five kids there. I mean, it's a great, great company. But they've totally redid that area, and they made it seamless. It was so nice to just blow through it the way I did. And
wow, no pun intended there.
But, yeah, like hour and a half, I was out of there, and I posted a picture of the sign on my way in.
Just the sign?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
I have some other pictures for you, though.
Right.
And put it on the Grilling Guys Facebook page, and got some really interesting and heartfelt comments from people about, you know, people they've lost or their lives were saved or, you know,
right.
People, you have to take care of some of these things that science has proven to us.
Well, and we're getting older, man. It's a common occurrence, and especially for you, brother, if you got it in your family, immediate family at that, you're prone. And you had to get prone. They took care of you.
I generally
other than
am.
That, it's all good.
I'm prone very often.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so it's going to be all about the Super Bowl and having another option, drinking a little wine. Again, Brian Lesperance from Fen Valley's with us. Later on, we're going to talk about some other things you can make, and Brian's going to help us pair them. And then in the fourth segment, my old friend Dick Vermeil, who used to coach the Chiefs and as well as the Eagles and the Rams, is going to be joining us to share his perspectives on the game. And that'll be very cool because he's brought some teams to the big dance. And of course, he did his final coaching job in Kansas City, and he has a lot to do with the success the Chiefs are enjoying today because he really kind of reinvented that program, which is what kind of what he did for teams. Did that with the Eagles. I know that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're going to talk Super Bowl. Sorry. Hate to bore you with more football.
Yeah, well, we're the precursor, right? The game will be later this weekend, not today. So we'll us and every other commentator on radio is going to be talking about it. So why not join the party, right?
So Brian, what are your predictions for the game? Got any?
I'm a football fan for sure. I think Kansas City is going to be tough to beat. I really do. So I think hopefully it's a good game. Talking about a little more scoring than last year, which will be fun.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping for a high scoring game and a close game.
I feel like a lot of people in that this is going to be, for the first time in a while, a really exciting game. I mean, I haven't seen this kind of excitement around a game in a long time. And maybe it's because the Patriots went so many times, you know, and it just kind of – and I like the Patriots, but
– it's nice to see some new teams. You know, I go back to, you know, last time I saw San Francisco in it was Steve Young and, you know, Joe Montana era football. Yes. So it's kind of fun.
Montana, boy, he was something – I think the Chiefs were in the very first Super Bowl.
I can't confirm
52,
that, but
54
sure.
years ago, yeah.
Why not?
Yep.
Which is another cool little – we'll right. have to check with Coach Vermeil on that. Jop?
I apologize. I've got fighting a little bit of a cold this morning, and I'm turning my head and coughing away from the microphone, and if you're picking that up, I apologize.
Okay.
I'm not
Sorry
trying to get
that.
Anybody sick, but I'm fighting it. But I'm here, and that's all good. So
I had a funny little story as long as we're talking about Spectrum Health. I was at my friend's mother – had her funeral last Saturday, and of course, our good friend Greg was going in for the same procedure as me at a half hour before me.
Oh, so you were holding hands in the hallway?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. And then I get up to this funeral, and I see my friend's daughter, and she goes, "So you might be having a colonoscopy on Monday." And I'm like, "Well, this is 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon right here." She works there. She was the charge nurse.
Oh, yeah.
Suzanne, thank you so much for letting me live through it.
All right, coming up next, Brian, we're going to expound on the varietals that we can see and enjoy at Fen Valley. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I have ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
On the Grilling Guys Talk Network, we're live from Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios, beautiful downtown Grand Rapids, and bam, January is gone. And we're talking February, talking a little Super Bowl, but right now, we're going to talk a little bit of wine, and this is one of my favorite topics, and the most knowledgeable guy I know in wine is sitting across the studio from us, right? Brian, welcome back to the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
Catch him with a mouthful of pork rib.
Well, that's all right, man.
They do that on
purpose. And if you just... caught on to the show recently, you can catch our show in form of a podcast on thegrillingguys.com, and you can go to the iHeart app and download the podcast for The Grilling Guys from ESPN 96.1. So you can take us with you wherever you want in case your weekends are too tied up to tag along, but we sure enjoy all the thousands of downloads we're getting and encourage it because our sponsors love it.
Right, absolutely. So, Brian, walking in today, you were telling me that we got to get you in and out of here in a good fashion because it's blending day. So maybe you could – did I term that right? Explain that to me a little bit.
Well, in the winter, it's one of our big efforts every year is to take what we have as a bunch of individual batches from fermentation and sort of the beginning of the winemaking process, and then we trial blend things to determine what we're going to put with what to bring together the production batches that will be bottled through the spring and summer months. So
I imagine one of the big tests you'll be giving it is sugar.
Well, that'll come as part of the process, sure.
How else do you determine the mixture rates? Because every batch is going to be different each year, right?
Right. So let's just take one of our biggest sellers, Capriccio, which I brought here. Would be another good wine probably with ribs and some of your Super Bowl fare. It's a blend of a few different grapes. And those individual grapes are in different batches still right now as they went through fermentation and initial cleanup. And so now it's a function of putting together those individual batches into the blend. And so that's, you know, it's one part kind of art and one part science because you're tasting things in trial size, but you also have to look at what quantity you have available and what you're trying to, what other products you have to make. So you kind of go in order of priority, making sure you get the priority blends done while you have the most raw materials to choose from, and then the job gets harder and harder as you get down to the last few wines where you're running out of raw materials and options get a bit more limited. Then, you know, we do that in a lab with 100 milliliter flasks to make the arithmetic pretty straightforward, but the real work is then with the cellar crew has to take those instructions and translate them into 1,000, 2,000, in the case of Capriccio, 13,000 gallons of wine at a time. And so when they blend in real life, we blend to a measurement in a tank. So we measure how much, basically, air is left in the tank, and that tells us how much liquid is in the tank. And so you can't unblend. So that's the kind of operation that gets everyone's attention.
You can't just keep adding things to try and balance it
right.
out.
Right.
You can add, but you certainly can't subtract. Yeah. So
Brian, this is interesting. Are most wines that, are they a blend, or are they just a single grape?
Well, it depends. I mean, certainly it depends on the winery and the region and the wine. But even a single grape, take Capriccio or say Pinot Grigio, for example, that's, you know, a grape, Pinot Gris. We may have three or four different batches of that in the cellar based on different vineyards, different yeast maybe that we chose. And so the final blend might represent, you know, a handful of those batches or all of them.
So when you're trying to blend them, are you using like a cup of each or a half gallon of each?
Milliliter bottle.
Yeah, 100. We have a graduated cylinder, so that you just kind of pour in the ratio that you're looking for, and that way you can your percentage is equal a milliliter, so it makes it a little bit more easy to get a feel for it. But then we obviously later would do things like sugar trials on something that was not dry. And actually, we'll probably talk about some not dry wine here in a little bit.
And then you must have to take copious notes.
Yeah, you have to take copious notes, and I like to have the notes backed up because one year we got all done with it, and somehow the file we were working from got screwed up and had to go back and resurrect it from the chicken scratch in the lab. So I immediately save off a second copy of the actual blending file after we're done because I'm not doing that again.
Nice. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, and we're here every weekend, whatever station you're listening to, support their advertisers because it takes a lot of wine to make this show. So buy the wine, buy the oil, buy the grills, but support your local station. We thank them for carrying us, all our affiliates around.
So, Brian, this process, it intrigues me because how much of it is taste? I mean, and how many blends are you going to do later today and tomorrow? You said you're doing whites today, so I assume reds tomorrow. How many will you taste, and how do you discern between them? I mean, after a while, it seems like my palate would be messed up.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the tricks of being a winemaker, I guess, is you know to trust your palate over time. And so certainly that's why we split it into a couple days. But we'll start with probably 50 different batches, and we're going to whittle down to making about 10 different wines.
And so, do those little crackers actually clear your palate, or do you do something different?
It doesn't
rinse out with water.
You know, water, certainly. Yeah. It doesn't hurt. We're not drinking the wine during the process, okay?
Oh.
So there's a lot of sampling.
That's why I'd never be good at this.
Wouldn't either. Yeah. I'm going to spit this out?
Right.
Yeah, no,
saving it.
It takes some getting used to, but that's part of the process, too. Otherwise, the blends do tend to erode with regard to quality through the process.
Sure. Okay, so we're trying a Vino Rosé right now.
Yeah, so I think this is a good wine with a lot of the types of things that you might pull out on Super Bowl Sunday. It's kind of rosé is kind of hit down the middle. They got that refreshing note of a white wine, but also a little more structure from the red component.
And the term is lost on a lot of people as of 10, 20 years. It seems to have drifted away ever since whoever it was, Martini and Rossi or somebody used to make it years ago. And I think people used to buy it by the gallon jugs, and it just sort of lost its flair. But you guys have brought it back in a very big way. I noticed a lot of it on your racks, and this is just a stellar wine.
Thanks, yeah. Rosés are great in a cool climate, too. I mean, the nature of the cooler climate does produce that more fruit-centric wine. Having that pink color in there is fairly straightforward to do in our climate as well. So, and it's a format that's gained a lot of traction. It was dominated by the super sweet market there for a long, long time. So people saw pink wine, they just thought sweet. But the market's changed. People get it. People get that rosés can be anywhere from dry to sweet. Some of the best ones are dry.
And when you say dry versus sweet, the you're talking about, are there tannins in a pink wine like this as well, like as there are in red wines, or what makes one dry and one
not
sweet?
Not really. I mean, we talk dry or sweet. We're talking sugar, residual sugar. So, you know, the sweetest wines might be in that 6 to 8% range, where your dry wines are going to be generally under 1. And that, of course, is kind of a balance between the sugar and the acidity. So
that pink body's coming from the red grape.
Yeah, a little bit. There's some limited skin contact, which won't really give a lot of tannin, but will give a little bit of flavor from the skins versus a wine that has virtually no skin contact. So it's really just the juice flavor you're getting.
So this can of Vino Blanco you have, that's what you used to call Vino Verde, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
That's a phenomenal wine in the summer, especially. Very cold. It's just ridiculous. And tell us where your store is, where your outlets are.
So we have two tasting rooms, our main facility in Fenville, which is just off of 196, about 15 minutes south of Saugatuck. That's where we do all of our production. It's really one of the largest tasting rooms in Michigan and in the Midwest. We do our tours and a lot of our events out of that space. And we also have a satellite tasting room in downtown Saugatuck, which is a nice way for folks that are in town maybe just for the day to get a hold of us without going all the way down to the farm.
Yeah. Well, cool. Brian, stick with us. We're going to want to talk a little bit more about some of these other varietals. But coming up next, Bob's going to give us some Kansas City sticky ribs that might be good for your Super Bowl party. Stick with us. We'll be back.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Oren Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fennvalley.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guy show.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. And Barbecue Bob, we're talking a little bit of wine. We're talking a little bit of Super Bowl yummies. And you had brought in some baby back ribs that we had just had. They were pretty tasty from a previous cook this week. And now you, I think you said you want to talk about some Kansas City sticky ribs. What's
well,
the difference?
I'm trying to get something for Kansas City and something for San Francisco. So,
oh, that's it. You're tying it into this whole football game thing.
Yeah, so
I get it.
On the West Coast, those
a little slow on the
San Francisco fans, tri-tip is really big in Northern California.
All right.
It's huge. Matter of fact, I've never seen people consume the kind of tri-tip. You go into Costco in, say, San Francisco, Oakland, Sacramento, and in Costco, you'll find six packs of tri-tips. Cryovac. That's how much they buy at a time. So it's not, they're serious.
Right.
And the funny thing is, most of those guys out there are going to smoke that, slow roast it on a Weber kettle.
Oh, really?
It's like the status symbol of the backyard. It's not uncommon to see three Weber kettles in a backyard.
And are they doing that direct or indirect?
Indirect.
Okay.
I mean, typically for a tri-tip, you have to. If you try and do a tri-tip, right over the coals, as I did the first time, you'll find out that you burn the outside and you don't touch the inside.
So the tri-tip, a very flavorful.
Yeah, it looks like a steer. It looks like a spearhead. It's like a point, a three-dimensional triangle. And it's got a really skinny end, of course, and a big, broad, wide end. And so if you try throwing a big mass of protein like that on the grill directly, you're going to have a hard time getting it to doneness inside. So you have to take your time, right?
Right.
The massive muscles, you always want to take your time. You can't push the temperature. You have to be prepared. Now, if you want to go fast and you have to go fast, you know, let's say you're sitting on a tri-tip, you can cut it into like inch and a half steaks and have what Tommy Brand kind of created in the Michigan market, and it's called a sizzler. And the tri-tip sizzler is my favorite. Some people use a ball tip for that as well, but you can cook it fast like that. It makes a great steak. Again, you want to bring it to no more than rare, medium rare.
Right.
That's the most, because it's a fairly lean piece, but it's got a really cool webbing of fat in it. It's a little lean, but there's still some nice connective tissue and fat in there.
Right.
It's just a weird looking muscle.
So you're just going to monitor that thing with the remote thermometer or your thermopen.
Yep.
And get it up to that 125 mark on the thickest end, because the thin end's going to be done.
Well, here's
a little quicker,
the chef's
obviously.
Secret. Yeah, here's the chef's secret. Being that it's got that pointy end, you're going to be checking it within an hour, right? And when you put your thermopen in the fat end, it's going to say 95.
Okay.
And then you look at that tip, and it's done. So what a good barbecue chef does is he takes his trusty knife out and his tongs, and he cuts that end off, and he shuts the grill.
Okay.
Now, that's for you.
Oh, yeah. That's to eat, right?
That's for you.
Right.
Because you're out there doing the work, and that's another beautiful thing about tri-tip.
Yeah, it's always funny, right, when we're cooking for people, and we just did it. We cooked 400 pounds of prime rib a week ago at our church, and I had three or four people come out to me and say, hey, I didn't see you in there. Did you get anything to eat? And I'm like, come on, man. The chef does not go hungry. What are you talking about?
Ever.
I may eat a lot of protein, but you're not going to see me go hungry. I'm cooking.
So with that nice, lean piece of beef, Brian, have you ever done a tri-tip?
I have. I'm a big fan. They eat a lot of them out in Colorado, too.
Okay.
They get out there to ski, and you see them more than around here.
So what would you pair with the tri-tip?
Well, a lot of it depends on the seasoning. But let's just say you're kind of down the middle there. Then I think a nice, you know, dry
red
wine. Like
a Santa Fe type seasoning.
Blend. Yeah, something like a Cabernet Sauvignon or Merlot would be a great pairing with that. Kind of a classic pairing, for sure.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yep.
And I still have a few of your old Merlots from 13. They were phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 13 was a great year, you know, and they kind of get more subtle with age. So it'd probably be a really, really good pairing if you can dust off an old bottle.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those is it because of the fat in the steak that you want the drier wine to kind of clean the palate? Is that where we're going with that or not so much?
Well, sweetness level could probably go all over the map as far as what really makes sense. But, yeah, I mean, a sweeter wine's probably going to make the food maybe taste a little bit on the bitter side. So by keeping everything kind of sugar-free, you're going to continue to make the meat taste almost sweet compared to the wine.
Well, in my opinion, too, that 13 Merlot years was not all that dry. It reminded me almost of a Hungarian Merlot. It had a little touch of sweetness to it that just it was so – I mean, you could drink it by the gallon.
Sometimes tannin and oak can kind of give you that perceptible mouthfeel of sugar, and I think that the oak treatment also comparing nicely with some of the smoky flavors from grill as well. So I think there's just a lot of different ways that those wines tie together, and they just has enough structure because you've got meat that has some structure and some umami, you know, hangs on your palate. You want a wine that kind of stand up to that.
Do you still sell the chopped up barrels for smoking wood?
Yeah, well, yeah, they're the beans we use on the inside of the barrel. So yeah, when we use an old barrel to get the flavor, we use what they call oak beans, and they're just little pieces of oak.
Yeah, they're cubes.
Yeah, and after we're done, we bag them up, freeze them, and use them on smokers and grills, and it does provide a really cool flavor.
It's crazy. You gave me some a year ago. I've had them in the freezer, and that's a really unique, cool flavor.
Yeah, and it's easy on a smoker because they're totally saturated with liquid, so they really do last a while.
Yeah.
And Brian, are these regularly available, or is that a seasonal item that we could get?
It's fairly seasonal. I mean, we have quite a few right now because we just did some unbarreling, but a lot of it just depends on how much is in barrel and how much comes out.
So I'm going to do for the Kansas City teams something Rob Russell was very fond of, and they're called Kansas City Sticky Ribs. It's one of the first things he taught me out in Kansas City when I was out there training with him and Ace of Hearts Barbecue. And I was amazed because I didn't think I ever really made good ribs, you know.
Right.
So I didn't even try. Kind of gave up after a while. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't like them anyway. Well, he made those. And it's simple. But basically, whatever your process is for making ribs, we're not going to do a ribs 101 class. You've all got your ways of doing them, right? With a Kansas City sticky rib, you're going to use a little bit of a sweeter, obviously, profile on your seasoning, and then a sweeter sauce. And then when you get them done, you're going to finish them off with a sauce, 15, 20 minutes open. And then what we would do, and he would always cheat when we did classes, we'd buy this parquet squeeze-on. It's terrible for you, but it's actually really tasty.
Yeah.
And it's really nice to squeeze on a rack of ribs.
Right.
So we'd squeeze that soft parquet on them. Or
so full
nothing
butter.
Like butter. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
And then we'd squeeze honey on it and then just let them rest.
So the sticky part is the butter and honey at the end.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Tremendous flavor. And people, especially my opinion, women went nuts for them.
Right.
So guys, if there's a reason to do it, there you go.
Right. Make her happy with some sticky ribs.
Make her sticky.
Right? Yeah. Okay, you said it. I didn't. But anyway, so you've got the two teams. They can do tri-tips or sticky ribs, whichever team you're rooting for. And
sure.
You'll be the grilling guy supporter in your neighborhood when you're watching the game. But anyway, I'm sure there's going to be lots of snacks. We're going to cover those in maybe the last segment. We got a couple more snacks that we're going to we want to do. But.
And for that last segment, we've got Coach Vermeil coming on. And in the time he lived in Kansas City is when he met Rob Russell. And Rob really taught Coach how to barbecue.
Wow.
So I know ribs are not Coach's favorite meat,
right.
But we can ask him what it is.
Right. And, Brian, for that sweet, sticky rib, what kind of wine would we have with that?
I'd go with something with a little bit of residual sugar. So we got our Traminette, which is about 3% residual. It gives you some sweetness to pair in with the sweetness that came from the sticky part of the rib, and also a fuller-flavored, sweeter wine like that. Where it's got some intensity of flavor so it doesn't get washed out by the food.
All right, very cool. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Coach Dick Vermeil, and he's going to give us his prediction of the Super Bowl. I think I know where he's going to go based on his coaching history, but you don't know. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come and have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer, bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're coming to you from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios in downtown Grand Rapids. Hey, Barbecue Bob, it's Super Bowl weekend, and we have our special guest on the line. Who are we talking with, brother?
We have Coach Dick Vermeil of the Kansas City Chiefs, the Rams, and, of course, the Philadelphia Eagles. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing fine, Bob. Thank you. How are you?
Hey, it's great to hear your voice. It's been a while.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's got to feel pretty good for you. This is such an exciting Super Bowl. It's got to feel pretty good for you to see one of your old teams up there at the top.
No question. I have a great feeling for it, and I have a great admiration and respect for Andy Reid. So it's a combination of two wonderful things happening at the same time.
So what kind of predictions do you want to make?
Well, you know, I think this game is almost unpredictable. It's multiple guests. I think it's that close. You know, two extremely different offenses, both averaging almost the exact same amount of points regardless of how they move it, one throwing, one running. I think the 49ers have the edge in the overall quality of the defense, though the Chiefs improved later in the year. Personally, I think right now it's going to come down to which team doesn't turn it over or reverse that and say which team takes it away, which team doesn't get robbed by a bad call by the official that gives something to one team and takes it away from another. I think that's what it's going to come down to.
And I think that's why it's so exciting is because it's so neck and neck that I think a lot of people feel exactly the same way, that It's you're going to have to watch this game. If there's ever a Super Bowl you pick to watch, this is the one you want to watch, because this will be a true squaring off of great teams that it's anybody's guess. And a lot of people are trying to say, oh, you know, this team, I don't see it that way. I see it as just two incredible teams, both with their own strengths, offense and defense. And I liked what you said about the call, because we've all seen that game where one call, especially later on in the game, can really flip a team on its head.
No question. And it can happen. That's it. The human error, you know, or some defensive player grab a guy's jersey, which is so stupid to do, especially in a big game like that. He gets called and, you know, gives them a first down when they would have had to punt. These kind of different things, I think, are going to make the difference in the ball game.
Coach, I'm interested in your perspective on Mahomes. Is he everything that people say he is?
Yeah, maybe a little bit more.
Right.
It's scary.
How long has he been with the Chiefs?
As long as he maintains the attitude that he has now, and you know, sometimes it's really tough when everyone raves about you so much to get a distorted ego. And he doesn't appear to be that kind of kid. And under Andy's guidance, I don't think he will. But it has happened before.
The first time I saw him play 3 or 4 years ago, I remember just thinking, wow, this is an incredible performer. There's something about this guy that's really unique. And, of course, the latter half of this season, he really came out. And it's going to be great. It's just going to be great football. And I haven't gotten excited about Super Bowl in years. So you've probably got a few interviews lined up, and hopefully we'll get to see you somewhere along the way on the big screen.
Not that I know of.
Okay. All right. Well, at least you're on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network, so there's 16 stations around the country listening to you right now, and I suppose it's a little easier just to enjoy the game if you don't have to be all over the place trying to give your two-minute snippets.
Yeah, well, you know, I coached one 20 years ago, so it's been a long time, and then I coached the Chiefs, and then we got to the playoffs but never got there, and so that's why I have so much respect for the Chiefs, the Hunt family. Carl Peterson, who brought me there, and now Andy Reid, who was a personal friend. And I think all the coaches in the NFL that have been in the league for a while are all rooting for Andy. You know, it's been 15 years since he's been there, and he knows what it's all about. He's done it right, maintained great professional attitude about the game and respect for the NFL. So I think it's his turn, though it won't be easy.
Are you going to be at the game, or are you going to be watching it from home?
No, I'm watching it from Key West, Florida.
Oh, that's going to be rough.
Yeah.
Well, that's where you're at every winter, isn't it?
Right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're going to be doing any barbecue for that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, I think I'm going to do some beer can chicken.
Ooh, there you go. That's good.
Yeah. Well, last time I talked to you, of course, is when we lost Rob Russell.
God bless him.
Yeah. Yeah, he... introduced me to you years ago, and I know that you had a great fondness for him from Kansas City.
Yeah, I got to know him, you know. I got to know him both in Kansas City and in Philadelphia, because he would come and put on barbecue teaching classes, and I would go over, and I still have all the notes I took from the first class I took from him. So, I respected him, and I learned a lot. And then you branch off using your own methods and that kind of stuff. And more often than not, I don't do it as well as Rob did it.
Yeah, he taught me a lot, too. And he and I had some great trips out to cook for your fundraiser for the Boy Scouts as well.
Yeah, we still have. We're going on year 28.
Wow, that's great. It's nice to give back like that. So I know you have Vermeil Wines, and we have our favorite Michigan vintner in here right now. It's called Fen Valley. Brian Lesperance is in studio with us. And he just wanted to say hello to you.
I can't imagine how tough it would be to run a vineyard in those extreme weather conditions. And we in the Napa Valley, we have a heart attack every time it changes to 5 degrees.
It's extreme farming, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah.
Well, Coach,
what is your favorite vintage in terms of your Michigan project?
2012 is one that really sticks out to us. It was one of those, just like you're talking about, we almost lost it when we got 80 degrees in March. But because of that, we had a really long season. It was some really nice wines.
What grape? Cabernet or what?
Yeah, we do a lot of the Bordeaux reds here. We do a lot of the sort of classic whites too, Pinot Gris, Chardonnay, Riesling, of course, up here is pretty popular.
Well, that's good. Well, we hang our hat on the three Cabernets, and then our Cabernet Franc is awfully good, and then we make our Zinfandel out of from a vineyard that's 111 years old. We do make Chardonnay now, but we get the grape from Sonoma County, Dutton Ranch.
Sure.
And we also make some Sauvignon Blanc to satisfy our club members.
That sounds great. Coach, I hope you and your family have a great time for the Super Bowl. Thanks so much for talking with us again. It's good to hear your voice. And thanks for your perspective.
All right. Hey, thank you. Go Chiefs.
All right. Thanks so much, Coach. That's Coach Dick Vermeil, Philadelphia Eagles, Rams, and, of course, his final tour of duty was with the Kansas City Chiefs. And, Rob Russell introduced me to him maybe 10 or 15 years ago and got to work with him a few times. And the guy is nice to everyone. And he, when you're hanging around with the Philadelphia Eagles, if Coach Vermeil's around, I mean, you want to talk about a guy who is loved by a franchise. He turned that club around back in the 80s. Of course, the famous movie Invincible was made about him and Vince Papale, and we got a chance to know him too. And it's just always nice to have Coach on, especially since the Chiefs are in. I mean, how cool is that?
Right. So, Brian, I'm interested. He said he had three cabs out there that he hangs his hat on. Explain that to me. I thought Cabernet was Cabernet.
Well, there's Cabernet Franc and Cabernet Sauvignon, which I assume was primarily what he was talking about. And that would be pretty common for – he's from Calistoga, I want to say, which is in the Napa region, so kind of the cradle of the United States wine industry.
Listen to you, little vino name dropper.
I judged wine with a guy from Calistoga.
Did you?
That seems like a pretty nice place. Not a lot of snow there.
Not
a lot of snow.
Well, I think it's – wine goes for $75 a bottle. So.
Yeah, the Napa name, and for a good reason. They make good wines out there.
It's like the ultimate climate.
Yeah. They've got a whole different set of things to worry about. You know, they got to worry about fires and landslides and earthquakes, and we just got to worry about deep snow and ice.
Well, I just want to put this out there. If they ever come up with a Sideways 2, I want you to be in that.
Wow. We'll keep that in mind. Yeah. Right. There goes the ratings.
Hey, I didn't say hangover.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about some additional wine and maybe a couple more snacks for your Super Bowl party. But stick with us. We'll be back. Fall is the time to think about sprucing up the inside of your home. Your outdoor projects are completed and the kitchen is a good candidate for a fall makeover. Standard Kitchens, the longest standing cabinet supplier in West Michigan, features some of the top brands in the industry, including Merillat Cabinetry. Merillat offers cabinets to fit any style, taste, or budget, and the professional designers at Standard can work with you to design the kitchen just for you. Stop into Standard Kitchens at any of their 7 convenient locations for your latest in kitchen and bath design. Find them on the web at standardkitchens.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Now you're a man, a man, man, man. Now you're a man, a manny, manny, man, a man, man, man. You are now a man, you're a man. Now you're a male.
Real Man Law starts off with pouring Lou Capriccio from Fen Valley. I'm multitasking, pouring with my right, talking with my left. Hey, you can't do that.
Side of your mouth.
Today's Man Law, if you don't have buddies, they're not the same as friends, by the way. Start developing those friendships now. Most are outlasting marriages at this point.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, we would be remiss if we didn't touch upon, I know the media's beat the heck out of it, but rightfully so, that we lost in a helicopter accident this weekend, one of the greatest athletes ever put on the face of this earth, and his daughter. And, you know, there's seven other people that also tragically lost their lives. But you know what? It just speaks volumes to, you never know when stuff like this is going to happen. So make the most of your buddies and spend some time with them. But
yeah, I was never a Kobe fan, but I'm not going to speak ill of him in his passing. That's for sure.
Right, exactly. Well, he was a great, great, great basketball player. But anyway, I got one here for you, Bob, one of a Super Bowl snack that's really super good, and people love them. I got just a little slider roll, okay? And I'm going to cut it in half. I'm going to put some mayonnaise on it, and then I'm going to put a cooked shrimp. I'm going to slice it in half, so I got two pieces of cooked shrimp. And then I'm going to put a half a slice of crisply cooked bacon on there, and some chives. Put that thing together, that shrimp and bacon with a little mayonnaise and chive on there. Fantastic little slider. You can slam those together in 15 seconds. Make a whole platter for them in 5 minutes, and you bring those out between quarters or whatever, people are going to just do backflips over those. They're that good. Just I'm a real male
Even
guy.
Even if the pool's not open?
Right, exactly. Exactly. But I got another one, which is a stuffed mushroom. I don't know if you like those or not, but
I love them.
Take a little crab meat. I cheat on these. I go over to our favorite butcher, Sobey Meats, and he has a crab dip. It's called a buttery crab dip.
Yes.
That he has, and I just buy the mini portobellos, and pop that stem out of there, clean them off, and put a lump of that in there, and put them in the oven for about 5 minutes on maybe 350, and it just melts that stuff down and softens that mushroom enough that it's They're good. And again, a whole
platter
of those.
You can even chop that stem up and mix it up with it if you like.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Stuffed mushrooms are great.
Yeah.
I am a recent fan of them, let's just say.
Right.
Later in life, I learned to appreciate mushrooms and not get lost in the process.
Brian, what's your favorite Super Bowl gig?
You know, I'm always a fan of ribs and of chicken wings, the classics. For me, mm-hmm.
Yeah, but wings are so good.
Yeah, we've really been into them lately, and you know, just having some fun with that. We've cut the carbs back a touch ourselves, so wings are an easy go-to. You know,
right.
Naked wings, we don't dredge them in a bunch of stuff. Just
right.
just the chicken. And
so, do you get them from your butcher?
We do. Yeah, yeah. I got a butcher down in South Haven that I like.
And does he trim them for you?
Yeah, yeah. They make it easy on us down there.
It's kind of nice. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what I tell people. You know, we'll make the wine. You know, leave it to the pros. I'm not a butcher.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I'll make the wine and let somebody else make the meat look good.
But there's a huge difference when you get fresh wings versus the frozen.
Oh yeah,
you know,
absolutely
bulk
yep.
stuff.
Absolutely.
We of course go to Sobey Meats, and he trims them up for you, and you'll get like a 10-pound bag or whatever you need, 5-pound bag, and you don't have to mess with it. You just start doing your application, and again, Rob Russell's going to come up, but. When Rob and I used to do those classes Dick was talking about, we would just put a little grapeseed oil and some Memphis rub on them. And people loved that because it wasn't too hot for anybody. And then you could have your hot sauce ready if you wanted. But thanks for joining us, Brian.
Always a pleasure.
All right, Brian. And, hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you turning in each and every week. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Make some munchies and get out and make sure that you spend some time with your friends. And we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.